a snake on my back. I keep a red bone on my side.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Wednesday, December 18th, 2019 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. and wild and dystopic ride it is, to be sure. I am your host, Chris Hinckley. We are all road warriors, those who esteem ourselves to be. And as always, feel free to dive into the chat area at roadwarriorradio.chattango.com for interesting and lively discussion. I said yesterday that I want to focus on heartwarming stories, the spirit of Christmas, and so forth, as we head into Christmas week this next week. And by the way, again, we'll be taking a break at RBN next Tuesday and Wednesday, December 24th and 25th. And then again, the following Tuesday and Wednesday, December 31st and January 1st. So Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. And until Christmas, until next week, I intend to continue on with these kinds of stories. And so yesterday I started with the World War I truce story. And I think that I will revisit that story briefly, because there's a more humanized version. I gave the Smithsonian Magazine's installment of that story, and have asked folks, you know, if you have a story that you'd like to share, feel free to either email me at rwrhost@therwrterwr.com. Feel free to email me there, or you can call in, obviously, and share your story that way too. But Larry sent me the Telegraph article about the forgotten Christmas truce the British tried to suppress. And again, you know, it's interesting as we see history unfold, and we are told that we are evolving and becoming more civilized and intelligent and all these kinds of things, how uncivilized and arguably dehumanizing and barbaric the efforts are to suppress these kinds of activities on the part of the troops, for example, and to keep the story away from public consciousness. And you would think, if there was really a genuine war, that if troops got together and declared their own truce, that if this if this war were genuine, if it were just a spontaneous uprising and it wasn't the result of some political machinations, then you would think this kind of armistice would lend itself, it would snowball. It would lend itself to further truce, and who knows what could happen? Who knows what kind of reconciliation could take place? But this is typically not the case. And so it's just, I think it's thought provoking to consider, you know, why would someone want to withhold this kind of information and prevent people from even engaging in these kinds of activities? So anyway, well, I'm going to start with that version of the story, which is more, you might say, humanized, less of the military installment, and then we'll move on from there. Today there are other examples, you know, the small World War II example, again, that Larry sent me, and then the example from our own Civil War era and So we'll talk about those and some other stories. And I was thinking about this yesterday. It's kind of funny. So I suppose it's humorous. I'm turning into John Tesh, apparently. Maybe not, but at least for a week or so, maybe that's what's happening. I don't think good news is something that should ever go out of fashion. So setting aside the usual banality, you know, things like the impeachment proceedings, today's vote and that kind of nonsense. It's interesting. You know, I've voiced my suspicion. Maybe I'll mention a couple of things in this segment along those lines. And then we'll go to the good news. So I've voiced my suspicions about the impeachment proceedings, and you know, I keep mentioning it's that SNL skit Inside the Beltway that I keep thinking of, and Kenan Thompson's character saying, you know, ain't nothing gonna happen, nothing gonna happen. And that's how I view the impeachment proceedings. If anything's going to happen, though, just as a point of clarification, it seems to me that what will happen is not what most people expect. And then I saw this story earlier today, apparently published a couple of days ago. U.S. President Donald Trump popularity edges. This is Times Now News. U.S. President Donald Trump popularity edges up during impeachment. That's what I would expect. A Quinnipiac poll earlier in December had 41% approval and 55% disapproval, while an October poll done before impeachment hearings began put those figures at 38% and 58%. So that's what I would expect. And I don't think most people would expect that. So that's interesting. A couple other things I thought, and you know, for better or worse, I'm going to do this. There was an NBC News article. I was surprised. It's the Christmas season. People are buying gifts. And so, you know, maybe it's worth maybe it's worth mentioning that these products are not something you should be. I think that listeners on this network probably already know this, but these probably aren't products that people should be giving as gifts or even receiving as gifts. So this Think Opinion Analysis Essays piece, one of those on NBC News, who knows how long this will last, a hot take piece by Evan Greer, Deputy Director, Fight for the Future. So it's an opinion piece. Evan Greer writes, Google Nest or Amazon Ring, just reject these corporations' surveillance and dystopic future. It's an interesting article. Like I said, I wonder how long it'll stay up at NBC News. Purchasing devices that constantly monitor, track, and record us for convenience or a sense of safety is laying the foundation for an oppressive future. It's interesting. Something like this would... I'm surprised there isn't... It's not stamped with disclaimers all over. The opinions expressed in this piece are not necessarily those of the... Anyway. So Evan Greer begins in his book 1984, George Orwell imagined that Big Brother type surveillance would be imposed on us by a violent state. But it's becoming clear that in fact, we are eager participants in building our own dystopia. And I think that's kind of a, we are eager participants in building our own dystopia. That's disingenuous. That's slightly misleading. And what maybe people like Evan Greer don't realize, or maybe he's just couching it in those terms so that he doesn't alienate people right out of the gates. Because to tell the truth of cybernetic totalist engineering and put something together on therwr.com yesterday, Perfectionism is Killing Us, which was a nod to Christy Ashwanden's Vox article recently of the same title. And the points that she makes, which are interesting, but I sort of go beyond that. And, you know, in this, the Christmas season, so to speak, the holiday season, 'tis the season from Thanksgiving through New Year's or so. I think as we've seen what has happened over the course of the 20th century into the 21st and how people are just exhausted, you know, for a while, for example, one of the things that I've noticed recently is that, you know, for a few years, what was it? Just a few years ago, it wasn't that long ago, many of us were lamenting, like hosts on this network, for example, were lamenting the fact that people weren't saying Merry Christmas anymore. There was a big to-do about the fact that some people considered that politically incorrect. And that obviously is a psyop, I would say. But still, it became a talking point. That went away, and now no one's saying anything. No one's saying, you know, anything. And I think that's just evidence of people being beleaguered and just worn out on the glut of propaganda and social engineering. People are being, you know, in cybernetic fashion, cybernetic totalist fashion, people are being rode hard and put up wet, so to speak. And so day after day, year after year of that kind of treatment, and there is a corresponding gaslighting, I would say, that has people, it's a dishonesty. You know, it's that totalitarian propaganda that Friedrich Hayek talks about in Chapter 11, The End of Truth in The Road to Serfdom. Totalitarian propaganda, which is sweeping, it encompasses, it's all-encompassing. It's lies about everything because it has to be lies about everything in order to advance its agenda. Because if you reserve the propaganda to just a few compartmentalized areas, it doesn't have the sweeping effect, the desired effect. So along with that, those efforts, there seems to be a corresponding gaslighting that has people thinking they're crazy, feeling pressured in various ways, but no one's speaking to it. You know, the 6 o'clock news does not speak to that. In fact, if anything, they're part of the pressure mechanism in many cases, whether accidentally on purpose or on purpose. So I think that that has people feeling beleaguered and weary as a result. Anyway, we'll get to the good news. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Welcome back. So, I think, you know, to me, the just the realization that these things are not accidental. I mentioned the article about the Jetsons, I think, last week. '60s futurists predicted a shorter work week. They were so wrong. It's interesting how this works, you know, and I think of H.G. Wells' New World Order, Chapter 5, Unsated Youth, and Wells talking about we don't need this surplus toil anymore. Toil is no longer marketable. Machines can toil better and with less resistance. such surplus multitudes are wanted no more. That was 1939. And so it's just interesting, you know, to sort of these reverberations of history. Again, you know, Thomas Jefferson to Samuel Kirchhoff in 1816, laboring, you know, 16 hours in the 24, giving the earnings of 15 of these to the government for their debts and daily expenses, the 16th being insufficient to afford us bread. You know, if you could get a hold of a money system, like, you know, in the fashion of central banking, and then you could institute a so-called a fiat-based, you know, as I say, so-called fractional reserve system, kind of like issuing your own currency, playing Monopoly. Imagine you take the money that comes with the board game, take that away, and you just say, you know what? I'm going to be the banker, and I'm going to write these little notes and give them to all of you guys, and I'll create as many as I want, and sometimes I'll use them to finance things, you know, backdoor things. I won't tell you about those things. I can't disclose my books or anything, how much is in circulation or whatever. And I will choose to do with those at my discretion what I think is fit, what is fitting. Then if you could do that, you could do all kinds of things. You would own the board game in a very short period of time. You could, you know, in a broader sense in life, obviously that would allow a person to create entire industries, to prop things up and to tear things down, and to obviously enrich themselves far beyond most people's wildest dreams. And it would probably allow you to engineer a situation like what Jefferson talked about, and like what Andrew Jackson warned against, where suddenly, through just this economic mechanism, you create the kind of calamity that Andrew Jackson said we suffered in the first round of the Bank of the United States, central banking, what became the Federal Reserve, the first iteration of it, the second, actually, which was what Andrew Jackson dealt with himself, the renewal for the charter for the second central bank, specifically, which he vetoed. So you could imagine the engineering of these circumstances, busyness and wage suppression and all kinds of other things, because the market doesn't, there's nothing organic really or spontaneous about it. It's entirely engineered, and in a fashion that seeks to make it look somewhat organic, somewhat natural, but there's nothing natural about it. Same way that the administrative fourth branch is where things actually happen in government these days, and the other three branches are window dressing. Anyway, I promise we'll get away from that stuff. We'll get back to the good news. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Can connect Andrew Jackson, Thomas Jefferson, H.G. Wells, and the Jetsons to Christmas. Yours truly. Anyway, kind of like, you know, who can connect Ivy Lee, Edward Bernays, Norbert Wiener, Alvin Toffler, what's his name? Richard Dawkins, Bill Gates, Bill Joy, Saudi Arabia, and so forth to Christmas, and Rachel Dozal, yours truly. Those are some of the connections, not Christmas, but all of the rest. including Rachel Dolezal, were some of the connections that I made in the article that I mentioned earlier, Perfectionism is Killing Us, which is same title as Christy Ashwanden's Vox article. Anyway, the point of all of that is to say that I don't think that any of this is an accident. You know, in fact, an excerpt from that article, and then I got to get back to the Think article and then to the good news. That's where we need to stay focused. So from my reference to Christy Ashwanden's article, I wrote, it's a brilliant article and well worth the read. I only wish more Americans were aware of the cultural engineering that has taken place in the past 100 plus or minus years, which gave us this fatal mental health risk, as she refers to it in her article. Examining the 20th century in particular, Ivy Lee, Edward Bernays, public relations, i.e. propaganda, and the century of the self, the Frankfurt School, the Macy Conferences, Norbert Wiener and the cyberneticians, Alvin Toffler's Future Shock, the Third Wave, and the prosumer, for instance, all belie a deeper undercurrent of influence and intent. Fast forward to the 21st century, and social engineering has risen to a whole new level, from Sean Parker's startling confession to Michael Kaczynski's astonishing work, to Google's selfish ledger and Lamarckian epigenetics, to Chamath Palihapitiya's warnings at Stanford Graduate School of Business, to mimetic warfare and Richard Dawkins' The Selfish Gene, to Bill Gates' Smart City in the Desert and Alphabet's Google, you know, in brackets, Alphabet, Google. Sidewalk Labs' Smart City on the Lake and Saudi Arabia's Smart Neom on the Sea, it seems there is a tireless ongoing effort to out-socially engineer the last generation or iteration's efforts. The danger, it seems, coming full circle in a manner of sorts, is found in technologist Bill Joy's April Fool's, April 1, 2000, Wired magazine article, Why the Future Doesn't Need Us. Once again, it seems this dilemma has been long in the making. And so that kind of brings us back to the article that I mentioned earlier, Evan Greer's Google Nest or Amazon Ring, Just Reject These Corporations, Surveillance and a Dystopic Future. It's astonishing, too, by the way, to add, once again, Paul Ohm's paper titled Broken Promises of Privacy, responding to the surprising failure of anonymization. I feel like most people just feel like it's inevitable. There's just nothing you can do about it. And now, you know, the new vehicles are, I mean, it's a Wi-Fi, it's a mobile Wi-Fi device. You're radiating yourself as you go, not to mention the data. And I just heard a story recently, a family member told me, after a conversation about smart meters, she said Avista came, which is, you know, the Washington, formerly Washington Water Power. I talked about Avista and the names that don't mean anything, at least not to you and I. And she said Avista came and said, you know, we're here to install your smart meter. And we had a conversation about that not long before that. And she said, no, thank you. And told her neighbor about it. And her neighbor said, I said the same thing. So to me, that's good news. It's interesting how the technology, the downside of it and the harmful effects are not discussed by these companies. And I've seen several stories. I've talked about a few. The company is asked, or they put out some PR piece that says, you know, the company says this is not harmful. If there is an issue, they usually, again, speaking of gaslighting, they don't speak to the harm. But then when it seems like there's a public outcry to some degree, whatever degree, there's a PR piece that, damage control piece that seems to seek to assuage the troubled conscience to some degree, which is interesting, but you know, it usually is something to the effect of the company says this technology is not harmful. In this case, that would be the example. And that's just not, that's not true. It's patently false. And, you know, whether it's personally harmful or whether it's the litigation in California as a result of smart meters exploding, bursting into flames and burning homes down, things like that, it's, there's a danger to it. And that doesn't even get into the data aspect of things. You know, these companies admitting that data is the new oil, and the data that is harvested from the smart meters might be worth as much or more than the power that the power company sells you. And they will rebut that. No. That's, no, it's not worth more. Well, it is worth something. And you're marketing that data. What kind of rebate do people get? Is there an opt-in program? You know what? I'm going to opt out of my data being sold. Or maybe we will create a coalition. We're going to sell bricks of smart meter data, kind of like mortgage-backed securities. We will sell our own data on the open market. What about that? That sounds like an idea Jaron Lanier might promote. But you don't hear about that. There's no opting in or opting out. There's no discussion of that. Again, you're gaslighted. It's your information. You are being fleeced. You're being shorn like a sheep. You know, your data is being shaved off of you. You know, there was a time in this society we used to call that mafioso kind of stuff. Now it's just, you know, it's just good business. Which I think is evidence of where we're at in America. I digress. So the same sorts of concerns arise in Evan Greer's article. Google Nest or Amazon Ring just reject these corporation surveillance and dystopic future. And when he says we are eager participants in building our own dystopia, I'm not sure I would agree with that. I think that there's been significant engineering out the rugged individualist perspective, the leave me alone, engineering in of the collectivist, communitarian, my identity is only, it's primarily as part of the herd, and resistance is futile, I will be assimilated, that kind of thing has been engineered in, along with the most people being enamored with this kind of technology and these devices and things. So I think there's much more even than that, but I think that there's more to the story when he says that we're eager participants in building our own dystopia, our own panopticon. And then, of course, you know, again, cyberneticians like Stafford Beer saying, you know, control has to be built in, sort of nuanced variation of the panopticon concept. Anyway, continuing Evan Greer's article, purchasing the very devices that constantly monitor, track, and record us simply for our own convenience or our sense of safety. Again, this is everything. It's in everything. The phones, the Fitbits, the Nest Ring, you know, et cetera, et cetera. In the process, we're laying the foundations for a bleak and oppressive future, he writes, because corporate surveillance sold for consumer purposes can just as easily be used as a tool for tyranny, and history shows us that it will. Absolutely. And again, I think, you know, Anthony Sutton's work is instructive here. It's uncomfortable, but, you know, Wall Street and FDR, Wall Street and the rise of Hitler, for example. And, you know, on from there, I mean, it's the same entrenched group of folks who think that we're all just livestock to be used, abused, taken advantage of, and so forth. So he tells a few stories. Take Ashley LeMay, who bought an Amazon Ring surveillance camera because she thought it would keep her family safe. Instead, a grown man hacked into the camera she had placed in the bedroom of her three young daughters. I don't care what anyone says. I would never think that was a good idea. I mean, again, if you understand how the interwebs work, you know that it's not secure, and it's just not. You know, again, I think of John Arquilla. My master hacker friends say, the infamous interview, another czar at the Obama White House. So, if you really understand how that technology works, you know better. So the article reads, he used it to stalk the children and even spoke to 8-year-old Alyssa through the camera saying, "I'm Santa Claus. Don't you want to be my best friend?" It was terrifying, and it was, it wasn't an isolated incident. No, of course not. Again, if you know how the technology works, it's not. A family in Florida also had their Ring camera hacked by someone who broadcast the whole thing live on a podcast. He monitored the couple before starting to harass them, shouting racist epithets and activating their alarm. Again, you wonder how people get away with this kind of thing. And it reminds me again of that interview, another czar at the Obama White House. Who can do this? Former intelligence officials from the former Soviet bloc. Yeah. And then from there are no sides. And, you know, how the FBI courted, Obama administration FBI courted. You remember that? Behind the hack on Yahoo, Russian agents who had been courted by FBI. That story, those kinds of things come to mind. So, continuing. He monitored the couple before starting to harass them, shouting racist epithets, activating their alarm. A woman in Georgia who installed a Ring to monitor her dog discovered that it had been hacked 4 separate times after a man spoke to her through the camera saying, "I can see you in bed." Someone threatened a couple in Texas through their Ring, demanding a ransom in Bitcoin. That was an interesting article recently. So skipping ahead, Amazon, though, simply seems interested in scaring people into buying their devices, more interested in that than keeping those devices safe. Investigative journalists have uncovered a pattern of lax security and privacy practices. Ring doorbells have leaked their owners' home Wi-Fi passwords, and the associated Neighbors app has exposed users' home addresses. And Amazon's surveillance doorbell cameras are just the start. The company is selling a multitude of other gadgets equipped with microphones, cameras, and sensors, all designed to gather enormous amounts of data, which Amazon refines like crude oil, into power and profit. Alexa, the company's home assistant, quote-unquote, is constantly listening, and explosive investigations revealed that Amazon employees have also listened via Alexa, not just private conversations, but also to deeply intimate moments such as couples, you know, deeply intimate moments. Amazon even marketed its microphone-enabled Echo Dot Kids directly to children. What could possibly go wrong, right? So, continuing toward the end, the societal implications of these private surveillance partnerships are staggering. Reports show a disturbing trend of racial profiling, with police flooded by false reports of suspicious individuals. Ring claims to care about the safety of its consumers, but the company doesn't even pretend to care about the safety of neighbors or community members who are disproportionately targeted by law enforcement based on the color of their skin. And again, we've talked on this broadcast about how the AI just seems to always be, you know, prejudiced in those sorts of ways, which is interesting. And, you know, we hear so much about just the grand utopian dream the technology will bring. But it ends up working out more like that SNL skit titled Virgin Flight. Remember that back in 2015? Pretty brilliant. And the bots, Vanessa Bayer and Scarlett Johansson, the little flight attendant bots. And it's very interesting because they sound exactly like what you hear on these automated call systems and things. How we've, you know, dumbed ourselves down the way that Jaron Lanier talks about. So there seems to be no end to Amazon surveillance plans. Company also sells facial recognition software to governments, claiming that it's powerful enough to detect human emotions such as fear, and has toyed with the idea of including the software in Ring cameras. Need to get to the good news. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Television signal.
let's dispense with this madness. So it's just to conclude the article, it's easy to feel like a world without human privacy is inevitable, or that it's too late to stop the end of privacy. And again, I think that's not by accident. Silicon Valley elites are in fact counting on us to feel that way. A related article, how Silicon Valley lost its soul and how it can maybe get it back. That's, no. Disingenuous, obviously. Silicon Valley never had a soul. The Silicon Valley elites are, in fact, counting on us to feel that way. You know, again, we understand about things like the wage-fixing scandal, the Tectopus. You have an idea of how certain people think at the... And, you know, it speaks to Lord Acton's words, power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts, absolutely. People thinking, well, if it's not illegal... You know, it's unethical, but it's not illegal, so maybe we can just all secretly agree to fix wages and to fire and blacklist those who shop around. I just read an article today, in fact, that encourages folks to do that. Business Insider, engineers from top tech companies like Google, Netflix, and Twitter offer their best tips for nailing a job interview, which I thought was ironic as a juxtaposed to this article by Evan Greer. And the questions they faced when applying for their roles. But that's one of the things that is mentioned, you know, be honest if you shop around. Or if you're interviewing around, be sure to let them know. And if you know anything about the Tectopus scandal, you know, that's probably a recipe for getting yourself blacklisted. So I just thought that was ironic. Anyway, second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.